Mrs. Brown's boys in the O2. Sorry about that, Fiona.
No, I enjoyed it.
Basically, we're looking at something here. Fiona Looney is here and so is Pat McDonald because they're parents. And I'll go back to something else, though, because Sophie Ellis-Bextor, she recently said that she's glad that she has three sons and not daughters because of the pressure on girls these days to put their sexuality out there. It's only one aspect, of course, involved in bringing up children, and we were wondering, when you consider all factors, which really is harder to raise, which one of these two, boys or girls? Surely it's difficult to raise both for different reasons, and I think that might be the conclusion in about 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 minutes' time, but maybe not, I don't know. Anyway, these two people here know all about it. Just let's see where we are about this. Fiona Looney, journalist and writer, comedian, actor, Pat McDonald. You're both parents of boys, girls. I'll start with you then, Pat. What ages are they?
I have a boy of 11 and a girl of 9.
Okay, I'm going to write that down. What about you, Fiona?
I have girls of 16 and 12 and a boy of 14.
Wow, really? All right, okay. That's pretty cool. All right, okay.
It doesn't feel very cool, I have to say.
I don't know, you mean it's the hell of teenage years, and in fact, it's even on this side of teenage years, so it's going to get not good.
Thank you. Fair enough. Worth coming in for.
Which is easier since you've got that then?
Oh, boys, obviously.
Really, Pat?
And
by a mile. You know, in India, they favour boys, and for a reason, I think, now. I don't think it's about earning ability in later years. I think it's just they're much easier. They really.
It's a great old phrase: boys wreck your house, girls wreck your head. And I think that is very true.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll go along with that. I think I don't know enough about that one yet.
What age is your girl? So we can write it down.
You're going to write that down too. I've got two later teen boys now. Yeah. Okay. So we've all got more or less the same kind of thing. All right. Now, you're saying boys are what? Sorry, boys. Girls wreck your.
Girls wreck your head. Boys wreck your house.
Right. Have you got a phrase or a saying? At all, Pat?
No, that's a good one. That's well put. Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
He wrecked my house, I'll tell you that. But much easier.
Are we being unfair to either one by saying one is
we're
easier
being,
than the other?
Do you know what? We're being massively unfair to both, actually. And I think there is always a danger when we talk about this. And it's not just in bringing up kids. There is this perception kind of globally that men are a bit thick and women are mental, you know, and that therefore everything can fall into, you know, women are complicated, they're manipulative, they play mind games. Boys are just a bit thick, you know.
It's kind of true, isn't it?
It is
true.
Well, you're
very, you're
on fire
this morning.
Well, it's kind of, but you know, it's a massive generalisation. And I always think, you know, and I mean, not to put a downer on a Saturday morning, but particularly with boys, it's very easy to kind of go, he's grand, he's a boy. And boys are frequently not grand, and so mind the boys, because girls demand minding, you know. Girls demand attention, they demand a sort of a level of care, and sometimes we kind of forget that boys also have crazy stuff going on in their heads, and we can tend to overlook it because they're very noisy and they just sit there surrounded by, in my instance, spice bags from the Chinese takeaway and dirty socks.
Right. Okay. By the way, 51552 is our number now. Pat, you know, would it be fair to say, do you think the boys don't listen and girls have better hearing? I'm just trying to get down to a few little details here.
Well, my son would say he has selective hearing, but I just find them are very simple. Boys are a simple mechanism. They say a Kalashnikov doesn't jam.
Yeah.
You know, girls are these very complicated American type of things with lots of little things like lasers coming out of them and whatever. Boys are very simple. I find it very easy to get round him. I cannot get round my daughter. I just leave it to my wife, really. Anything to do with her, because I can't deal with it.
What about discipline? Is it easier to discipline boys than girls?
Far easier, yeah. They just get it. They're logical, simple, rational individuals. They just get it. Don't do that. He stops immediately. She will keep going and press my buttons and test me. Because she knows I'm thick. I am thick. I'm just not sophisticated enough to look after girls. I haven't a clue.
Fiona?
Yeah, well, you see, I kind of think, I suppose as well, it depends on whether you are the mother or father. Because obviously, as the female parent, you kind of intuitively you understand what women are at, and now whether that makes it easier or not, I don't know, because frequently you then have this awful meeting of minds of kind of he said, she said, you said, you know. And I'm at the stage of my eldest where everything is my fault, you know. If it rains, it is my fault. Amnesty International not having a steering committee in the school is my fault.
And what are you going to do about that, though?
Well, I'm working on maybe getting somebody in there. But I mean, I kind of, in one way, I kind of admire the logic that's being presented. I mean, it's Bat's logic, but I admire the way it's presented in a very reasonable way. Like, you know, my daughter can literally put up a convincing argument that will say global warming is entirely down to me. And she can actually argue that very well. And, you know, as a woman, you kind of go, wow, you are beyond crazy. And I love it. Like, you know, whereas like the boy just wouldn't, I mean, you know.
But do you like it because wheels are turning in here?
Kind of, yeah. But they're not always very good wheels, you know what I mean? And it's kind of, you know, it, look, I think anyone in a sort of adult relationship knows that women are much better at arguing than men. You know, every couple knows. I mean, women just run arguments.
That's why
we
grow muscle. That's why we have.
Exactly. And if you then, if you put that into, if you actually change the dynamic of the relationship and make the male quite a small person, you know, without as many brain cells or as many life experiences, then boys are on a hiding to nothing. I mean, you can't win, you know.
Okay, but like, Pat, like, boys are obviously going to be, I mean, let's get some cliches out of the way, they're going to be very kind of action orientated or whatever the word might be. They're a lot more used to maybe jumping around and being physical and whatever the thing is. And girls, what? Would they be, for instance, less confident, do you think, and more insecure?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think they're quite confident. But they're just, from it happens from this whole thing of nurture and nature. Mm. I think they come out the way they are. I don't think they're particularly influenced by us. And my son, like, we said, well, we won't encourage him to have guns or be aggressive. But he started making guns out of his toast in the mornings. He'd make a little gun and fire it like that. My daughter automatically cared for little furry animals and all his teddies, whatever. And they're born that way. They're born nurturing and caring and nesting, aren't they? Where boys are automatically aggressive, and we have to tame that. But
okay, well then, what about you then? Like with the age group of 12 and 16, I mean, like the guy in the middle is 14, right? How is he getting on with the other two?
He, you know, he's in many ways, to be honest, he's kind of the glue that holds everyone together. And I was very conscious when we, you know, obviously you only have limited control over these things, over the gender of your children or whatever. But I kind of worried, you know, I sort of, from the get-go, felt sorry for him being the only boy. But in actual fact, if I'd had three girls, we would all be dead. And if I'd had three boys, we would all be exhausted. So the dynamic actually works quite well. And I think the fact that he's actually in the middle helps. You know, if he were the eldest or the youngest, he might feel a little bit like kind of such a satellite. Yeah. But he's right in the middle. But I mean, you know, I think they're, like, boys are just, they are just less complicated, but they are also, you know, I mean, you could have terrible screaming matches with boys, you know, because they, and my fella's 6 foot, like, you know, so I mean, you know, I'm giving out to him and literally I'm craning my neck, you know, just to kind of, you know.
Okay, but what about the protection side of things? You know, what about safety, if you like? Obviously, you're going to be concerned about the safety of both a daughter and a son, but are you more likely to worry about one than the other, maybe? Or does that change depending on what stage of life
they're at? My mother used to have a phrase, I'm full of old phrases today. My mother used to have a phrase, when you've sons, you worry, when you've daughters, you pray. And of course that was entirely based on when I was growing up, the absolute worst thing that could happen in any family was that a girl would fall pregnant. We didn't get pregnant in those days, you'd fall pregnant. And I nowadays, first of all, that's not the worst thing, obviously, that could happen in any family. But because of stuff like, you know, random attacks on boys in the street, I mean, that is a real worry, you know. So, I mean, my eldest is at the stage where she goes out, you know, she goes to gigs, she disappears off and kind of we don't know where she is. And that's, you know, we're not at home kind of flying through rosary beads and, you know, ringing the guards, but you worry. But I kind of feel that when Keane comes to the stage of kind of going out and disappearing over the horizon, which he's not at yet, I think that might be even more worrying, to be honest.
Actually, I just realised something. I've met your 16-year-old.
Yeah, you did,
A charity thing for Haiti or something, sending a bunch of kids from some school off to something or other. I don't know what it was exactly. And it was a battle of the bands.
Yeah.
And this one comes on and starts singing. And I found out the next day it's your daughter.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah.
So that's the one who's out gigging
all
around the place now.
All the time,
do you worry about the key coming in the door at 3 or 4 in the morning or any of that kind of thing? Or do you stay up?
Well, we kind of stay awake. The key came in the door at about 1:20. I mean, I kind of, you know, like I, you know, the best of times I struggle to get my own key in the door. So if I can hear the key coming straight in, you kind of go, right, we're grand, you know. But yeah, I mean, obviously, and the teenagers are horrible, you know, and let me flag that right now.
Well,
you know,
yeah, I was just going to say, good luck with all the rest of them, by the way. Yeah. You're not through it yet, 16, 14 and 12. Pat, I mean, like the whole idea of, you know, the communication and maybe the slyness, etc. Do you think that in terms of communication, it's easier with daughters than sons?
Yeah, but it's what I go back to saying, she's much more sophisticated than me. Yeah. She can get around me much easier. I think it's funny what you say about, you know, your trouble with your daughter. I mean, I find that much of her problems, the biggest problem is my wife and the daughter. I mean, I find that that is the problem. I have it easy because I get on with the two kids quite well, because the boy I have a lot in common with, and the girl, I'm kind of her daddy, you know, and she can manipulate me. She just has to put her eyes up onto me, and I give in to her. But the conflict is there with my wife and daughter. I find that that is the particular fraught thing, you know.
There's a few here, just a 51552. One of them says, girls or boys are the same. Whatever you tell them, they'll do the opposite. Another one says, what is it about the second child? My eldest boy is just okay, whereas the second fella wrecks my head. I just can't get it right with him. Everything is not my fault. I suppose my girl, who's 7, is too young to cause problems yet. That's a question mark from Sandra. Hopefully, I'd say. She, in other words, my daughter, runs the show. You have to beg for hugs and kisses, and she's always one step ahead. They are always one step ahead, aren't they?
And they do tend to, well, I mean, you know, they can be different. Like, my youngest is very affectionate, but my oldest isn't. And they do, you know, they can make you feel very needy sometimes, and you kind of go, give us a hug, and kind of, oh God, you know, and you just know that you're going to be left standing there on your own. Whereas boys are naturally very affectionate, particularly with their mothers.
Yeah.
You know, and which is an odd thing, because obviously as they grow to manhood, they tend to lose that. But certainly when they're kids, and it's ultimately, it's really easy to love somebody who's trying to climb up on your knee and wrap their arms around your neck and kiss you.
So it's really easy to be manipulated.
Yeah. We're that shallow. That's kind of what I'm saying.
All right, then, let's get to the thing what Sophie Ellis-Bechtel was talking about, which I mentioned on the whole area of body image and sexuality. She was speaking about that. She says it's certainly a huge, much bigger concern when it comes to daughters than sons. Now, I know it's getting to be a big thing with sons and all the rest of it too, but isn't it just 10,000 times bigger with the girls? Yeah.
There was a thing in the news this week about, I think it was a Pure in Heart Ireland were going into schools talking about sex education. Just to tell people, if you want to be pure in heart, eat flora. Don't worry about, you know, abstaining.
Are they the sellotape people?
The sellotape.
The sellotape people,
that's bizarre.
Yeah.
That's right. Allowed in schools? Is that?
I don't know. I was intrigued by this as to what schools would actually allow this carry on.
By the way, for those who don't know, keep talking, because I know
the majority of schools, Catholic schools, allow it, yeah.
Well, I mean, in fairness, like my kids' school, my youngest, who's in sixth class, she's just had her relate talk, which is the sex ed talk. And that's pretty much no holes barred, if you've heard the expression.
Okay.
And there was no sellotape or, you know, or careful now about it at all. For people who don't know about it, one of the things they did, I'm probably being a bit disingenuous and just singling this out, but they sellotaped a boy and a girl together. And sellotaped their wrists together and said, now, if you're now in a relationship and if you're having sex before marriage, this is what it's like. You're stuck with each other. But as part of the demonstration, when they unsellotaped them, obviously it hurt a bit, but they also said, that sellotape can never be used again.
God.
Like, people go around reusing sellotape. You know what I mean?
Well, hold on. What's it called? Liam Fay is writing about it today in The Independent, and he says, having spellbound their audience with this literally transfixing presentation, the self-styled paragons of purity deliver their core message. Sexual abstinence, they argue, is God's way. Sexual abstinence used to be called celibacy and was more famously practiced as a lifestyle choice by Catholic clergy. Curiously, however, a Pure in Heart lecture does not seem to include any historical analysis about how that particular experiment worked out. It's bizarre.
Yeah. They said self-gratification causes depression. And I can guarantee the people of Ireland now, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It's better than Prozac.
I saw that one
coming
a mile away.
Yeah.
51552, by the way, is our text. And I'm having one of each. I'm having one of each any day now. Twins, help. Yeah, twins. Yeah. You wouldn't go for twins, would you?
Oh, very hard work. But I honestly, and again, you know, I mean, I know there's no point in many ways, urging people to do this because you've very little control over it. But if you can get a mix of genders, I do think that is the most successful,
the most peaceful family, as they say. The Protestants got it right.
The Protestants
all those
were
years.
Right, yeah.
But hold on, go back to that body image thing I mentioned earlier on. You say your son is about 6 foot or whatever. Is he a rugby player or soccer player?
No,
or one of those?
He's a Gaelic player.
There's a huge thing, like little things are coming in that weren't around. Like the supplements thing is huge. Guys who feel they have to, like body image. Yo,
I think teenage boys now are obsessed with their body image. I mean, they all want the six pack, the abs. The only six pack we wanted when we were teenagers was smithing.
Boom, boom.
Very good. Yeah, right. Brendan O'Carroll's writing these down. Yeah.
You can use them later and pretend they're your own, Pat.
The arms on them and everything.
Yeah.
All disproportionate, slightly bigger than the head.
Yeah, and I mean, I see them down the gym as well. And like, they go to the gym, you know, from 16 and they're lifting you know, they're like at 16, they're, most of them, they're not actually fully grown, and they're lifting weights that are like ridiculous, you know. But it's all about the look. Whereas, honestly, like when I was growing up, teenage boys honestly did not care what they looked like.
No.
You know, as long as they were warm.
I've seen pictures of myself recently. That is completely true.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like with you then, Pat, like, you know, that whole idea of the, you know, the Sophie Ellis Bechdel thing, the body image, etc. Would you be worried about your daughter in some ways like that? Would you be worried about eating disorders? That kind of thing?
Absolutely, yeah. It's awful, you know, and it's very difficult because you can tell them, so stop eating that, you get fat, and you don't do this. You can't say that to your daughter. You can't mention fat or thin or anything. It is an absolute
but
minefield.
I know what you're going to do. You're going to say the exact opposite thing to your daughter that you will to your kids in terms of going out dating and all that kind of thing, won't you? You'll be a hypocrite.
I'd actually send my daughter into that Purity of Heart, whatever programme. I think it's absolutely fine. My son, I got outraged. No way. If anyone said that to my son, I want him to have a liberal education, like the Swedish model of sex education. My daughter, I want a North Korean model. Absolutely strict.
But it is quite funny, you know, when they get to the stage of going to discos and this awful business of meeting, which is just one of the most depressing things, you know, that I've ever come across. However, it is how young people date, meet, whatever, and you have to go along with it. But it's quite funny because when we went through it with Kira, it was just so depressing.
See, you know, like, when we went through it with Kira,
oh, no,
I thought you were talking about yourself here for a second.
I know. Well, I mean, this meeting thing, like where they just go up to each other and say, "Will you meet my friend?" Which means, "Will you French kiss my friend?" And then you've the right to. Now, this is boys and girls. I mean, the good thing about it is, like when we were growing up, the boys had to take the lead. A girl couldn't be proactive. At least now it's kind of 50-50. But they will go out and they will meet anything up to 10 or 12 people on a good night. But when my daughter was kind of at that stage, we were going, "Oh God, this is so awful and depressing," and you know, like, just the idea of anyone kissing her was awful. And of course, now that the boy is in that stage, you know, he kind of comes home and, like, you know, sort of cock of the walk, and we're there kind of going, "Yay!" Yeah. You know, high five. How many did you get?
So, so the two of you are the exact same.
Double standards.
So, Pat, would you prefer, or could you deal with? Would you like? Let's put it this way: if it was a house of boys or a house of girls, which would you go for?
Well, that's a difficult one, you know. They are much easier.
Challenge of girls,
boys are easier, but girls are fantastic as well, you know. They are empathetic and caring. And when I was sick, I say, had a cold recently, she would bring me things and look after me, worry about my son had no interest whatsoever in me lying on the sofa.
Do you ever think you're both lucky that you have both?
Yeah. And there's no pressure to have another, just to see what it was like. I grew up in a house of three boys, and my mother, God love her, she used to, there's a picture at home of my brother in a dress. Now, that was common enough in the 19th century, but in the 1960s, and she dressed me up like little Lord Fauntleroy. I think she really wanted me to be a girl, and I had little blonde curls, and I'd frilly, she put me in frilly shorts, and it scarred me for life, I can tell you.
I can see you really rocking that look, I have to say.
It was very disturbing and really affected me. I absolutely hated it. But you're better off. I think you're much better off having the mix, definitely.
Well, you need to have girls, because girls will mind you when you're old.
When you're old?
Yeah. Whereas boys won't. I mean, my son is always telling me, "I'll drive you to the home when you're, wait for it, 60 and leave you there, and that'll be it."
God, you haven't long left, dude, have you?
I was just going to say, that's not very good at all. Can do without that. All right, well, listen, Fiona Looney and Pat McDonald, thanks a million for dropping in to talk to us. Pat, are you acting and comedian?
Acting and comedian. I'm in Moonboy in a couple of weeks.
Listen, have you seen the thing in the paper I mentioned earlier on? There's UFOs over Boyle.
Yeah, well, that's true, yeah. It is the hotspot of Ireland for UFO whatever activity. It is, actually. There's a great episode in the next series, third series, yeah. So I'm doing that. The Savage Eye next month as well.
Oh, is that coming back?
That's coming back,
the Savage Eye.
The Savage Eye, with Crazy Dave. And and I'm gigging Monday night in Kingshead in Galway and Sugar Club Dublin.
Fantastic.
On Tuesday.
Crazy Dave, by the way, he's not called Crazy Dave for nothing, I can tell you.
Really?
All right, well, all right, Pat McDonald and Fiona Looney, thanks a million for dropping in to talk to us on the programme this morning.